Open your Bibles, please, to Psalms chapter 10. Psalms chapter 10. Psalms chapter 10. And then we will read verse 1, and then we'll skip to verse 12. Psalms 10, beginning our reading with verse 1, and then skipping to verse 12. Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? Looking at verse 12. Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up thine hand, forget not the humble. Wherefore doth the wicked contemn God? He hath said in his heart, Thou wilt not require it. Thou hast seen it, for thou beholdest mischief and spite to require it with thy hand. The poor commendeth himself unto thee. Thou art the helper of the fatherless. Break thou the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out his wickedness till thou find none. The Lord is king forever and ever. The heathen are perished out of his land. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear. To judge the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may no more oppress. Let us pray. Dear kind and gracious Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, dear Lord, we're so thankful for thy blessings and thy presence and the privilege we have together in thy house. Dear Lord, I just ask now that you'd speak to us. Show us, dear Lord, the various ways that you're working, even when it appears as from our viewpoint that you are not. And dear Father, I just ask that you'd lead us and guide us and bless us in all things. These we do ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The subject I'd like to draw our thoughts to this morning is faith during times of silence. Faith during times of silence. What we're looking at today is not something that has not been experienced by every single person here that has been saved any period of time whatsoever. And that being those times when it appears as though God is not anywhere near to us at all. That it appears to us that God is a million miles away at the very best that we could hope for. There are those times when, as we look at it, that God does not hear our prayers at all. You know, they're just falling on deaf ears, so to speak. But we have to remember that that may be how it appears to us. However, that is not how it is. Remember, we are taught in the Scripture. The Lord said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Lo, I am with you always. Right? So His presence is always there, even if for one reason or other, we're not aware of it. Now, how could that happen? Well, the ugly fact that we don't like to think about is it can be because of sin in our life. It can be that fact. Or it can just as easily be that God is teaching us something. God is allowing us to go through something. God is strengthening us. And as a result of that, we're having to go through a trial or a difficult spot looking for help and strength from God. In those instances, beloved, you don't need anybody to tell you whether there's sin in your heart. You know whether it's there. You go into your prayer closet, so to speak, and you ask God to reveal your heart as He sees it, or you ask God to reveal iniquity in your heart, He will show it. And if you beseech the Lord and there's no unconfessed sin, I'm not going to give you a break and say there's no sin. We all sin, do we not? But if there is no unconfessed sin in your life, then you can move on to God's teaching you something. And keep in mind, we are told in the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Remember how that when Paul cried out to God to remove the hindrance in his flesh, that God very plainly told him, I'm not going to remove it. But what did he say? My grace is sufficient for thee. Beloved, whatever we may be facing, I can guarantee you that you will find the grace of Almighty God sufficient for your need, whatever it might be, and whatever it is that you're facing. We can find throughout the Scripture that David, though he was a king, was in every way just as you and I. He had problems, he had trials, he had things that he had to deal with. And we find him in the book of Psalms opening his heart to God on many occasions. And it is through this that we can take hope and courage that God will also meet with us and help us as he helped David. Also, many of the things that David wrote in the Psalms were not only current, that is, not only did they have to deal with what he was facing at a particular situation, but they were prophetic. And many times they were messianic in what would happen in the future, and some of them are yet to take place. So a lot of what he wrote had a twofold message. This psalm is the same way. It's dealing with what God, or what David was facing in his life, and it also is making reference to the millennial reign of the Lord when he comes to bring judgment on all the ungodly and then rule with a rod of iron. You know, when we go through those times in our life, they are truly, truly dark, aren't they? But what's the old adage? It's always darkest when? Before the dawn. I remember when I worked guard duty at the mines many, many years ago now, before I was ever married, that I drove around the different places. Bruce, you know what that's like. And I could do really good until about 5:30 when that sun would start to get light. And buddy, if I stopped for any period of time, I would go to sleep. I had to keep moving. You know, it was at that moment that the flesh really, really kicked in. Plus, it didn't help that after about 1 in the morning, any radio station, any advertisement comes on a radio station was about a hotel with a warm bed or mattress companies that will help you just get in and get cozy. It was like, shut up! But at any rate, it's always darkest before the dawn, right? But the sunlight always bursts through. My friend, God will not leave you hanging. God will not leave you dangling, but He will make His will known. Yes, He may shut an avenue for you here, but if He does, He'll open an avenue for you here, right? God's not going to leave you out there twisting in the wind. David discusses the activity of the wicked and their relentless persecution on believers. He shows us their behavior, their arrogance, their pride, their blasphemy, also as well as their cruel and deceptive acts toward others. And down through the ages, those who have followed the Lord have had to deal with those very things, haven't they? And they continue to do so. So, with this in mind, let's take a look at what it is to have faith during times of silence. Now, before we jump in, let me throw in here also that faith during these times is a very good marker as to how strong your faith is. It's a good way to indicate how spiritually minded you are. Whether you go to the Lord or whether you go to yourself, whether you trust God or whether you trust yourself. And we should know, that any time we trust ourselves, we're leaning on a broke crutch, aren't we? We're leaning on something that's not going to give us the support that we need. So we notice in verse 1 that there was anxiety proclaimed. Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? Now these would indeed seem to be strange words from David. David was a man of faith, was he not? This is the same David who boldly went up and declared before King Saul that just as surely as God had protected him against the lion and the bear when they had taken some of the sheep, he would also protect him against this uncircumcised Philistine, who was who? Goliath, a man of war from his youth. David had no fear of him because he knew that God would take care of the situation. This is the same David who now, who has gone through many experiences that should have, in fact, strengthened his faith, but we find him now in the middle of a very dark time. He's asking God, where are you? Where are you at? Why are you hiding yourself when I need you so much? Now, before we would become too critical of David, and before we get to the place where we start pointing out over and again how much he should have known better and why he should have known better, I feel quite confident in the statement I'm about to make, in that every single one of us here that's been saved very period of time at all has come across a situation where you inside, you may not have ever said it, but you may have said, why am I having to deal with this? Why am I facing this? Lord, I'm serving you. I'm serving you with everything I have. Why am I going through this? And when we do that, and when we have done that, though the words are not the same, it's just exactly as David was here. And I'm not throwing a rock at you. I've done the same thing. It's just a weakness of this flesh. You know, we just don't understand. We have a hard time seeing things in the broad spectrum. David had great anxiety here. He didn't understand why God had not already moved in this situation. He knew that God was aware of it. He knew God was in control of it. He knew God could take care of it just in a split second. And he questioned why God was silent. Lord, why aren't you taking care of this? Well, God had a reason for it, didn't he? Or he would have. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you what it was because I don't know. But I will know, I do know that God had a reason for it. God had a purpose behind it, just as he has a purpose behind the things that we face in our lives. So as we look at our lives in relation to this, surely all of us at one time or another has prayed about a particular circumstance, a particular problem, a particular need in our lives, hoping for immediate results. We want God to intervene before we say amen, don't we? We want God to intervene yesterday, not today, yesterday. But it doesn't always work that way. Instead of our situation getting better, it gets worse. Anybody here ever had to deal with an unbearable situation? Sure, we all have, haven't we? Unbearable. And we take it to God and we ask God help. And it just keeps, and we say to ourselves, there's no way this could possibly get worse. And guess what? It does. Beloved, don't lose heart. Don't lose faith in the Lord. He will give you the grace to deal with it until it's time to either be dealt with or take you out of it, one of the two. But he will protect you and help you. How can I say that? On the authority of the Scriptures. That's how I can say it. He promised us that, didn't he? We don't have to wonder or worry about that. There are times when it seems as though God not only doesn't hear our prayers, or he chooses not to act upon them. You know, and again, that's just as we see things. We must realize that all of this is just from the way that we view the reality of our situation. There's not a one of us here that is objective to problems in our lives. If we're not careful, all of our problems are somebody else's fault. We always look at ourselves in the best possible light. And even if we are willing to admit that our problems are of our own making, we don't see them completely as they are. We view ourselves as badly or as culpable as we actually are. That's why, as you know, I'm a big fan of history. And as you read history books or historical accounts, you'll never find one that's completely objective. It will be written with the slant of the author, however the author views the story that they're telling. But some are a little better than others. Beloved, we need to realize that God is aware of the whole picture, isn't he not? He knew what you'd be going through before you were ever born. He knew what you'd be facing when you were years away from it. And he's already provided a way out, a way for you to escape. What's it tell us? We must continue to keep our faith strong in the Lord and to not waver. And how I don't care who we are, there are times when it is very tempting for us to waver. You know, I'll just throw this one out here because I'm so thrilled today with God's blessings and as I look upon it, I will admit that after the little storm, which now was, I guess, what they could say, a tempest in a teacup, when our attendance dropped down so low, that my faith wavered a little bit. You know, I did pray, Lord, is this really where I'm supposed to be? Lord, what have I done? You know, help me and all that kind of thing. And look how God has blessed us now. You know, you figure the numbers that should be here today and for one reason or another are not. We're going to break out them folding chairs yet. Praise God for his goodness. Don't let your faith waver. Stay focused to what God has you to do until God lets you know it's time to move somewhere else or do something else or focus something else and let that matter go. Even though God may not answer our prayers immediately, and even though God may not answer our prayers in the manner that we thought that he would, we must never for one moment assume that God is not working and that he's not interested in our situation, because he is. The delay concerning our prayers does not always constitute a denial. Sometimes what God's going to do is going to take a little time, isn't it? Remember Ahab and Jezebel? Boy, that was a pair, wasn't it? And when God pronounced judgment upon them both, was Jezebel's judgment immediate? No. And that wicked queen was still around. But God's judgment fell. Look at the Amorites. How that they had attacked Israel's rear guard, if you will, the sick and the old. And God pronounced what was going to happen to them. It was far from immediate. God made reference to it, the cup of their iniquity was not yet full. And when the time come for that judgment to be unleashed, it wasn't until the reign of King Saul. So there was a long time, but it was sure. What am I saying? Beloved, there are times that God will grant your prayers, but his time is not till down the road at some point in time. That's why, folks, never give up praying for somebody's salvation. Never give up on somebody that has turned just as wicked or as dark as the night. Keep praying for them. Keep witnessing to them. Because you just never know when God may get a hold of their heart and when God may open their eyes to what they're doing and what's going on. We must trust God in every situation, even those times that he appears to be silent. In verses 12 through 15, we find the appeal presented. After pouring out his heart to God concerning the wickedness of his adversaries, David offers a humble appeal to the Lord. The first part of verse 12, we find his plea. Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up thine hand. David knew that he was in desperate need of the Lord's help. Beloved, you will never cry out to God as you should. You will never follow the Lord as you should. You will never, ever be the child of God that you should be until you come to the place that you realize it's all of God and none of you. When you realize that God alone must act on your behalf, that God alone is the one who enables you to do anything for Him, that it's God alone who blesses your life, that it has nothing to do with you whatsoever. When you realize that in an instance such as God is blessing us here, it's not because of any of us. It's His will to do so. It's just up to us to serve Him, right? And to keep doing what He would have us to do. But it's not because of us. We have to understand this fact. David knew the desperate situation he was in. He knew that he would never survive the relentless assault of the enemy without God's strong hand working on his behalf. And beloved, there are instances in our life that we would never make it through unless but by the hand of Almighty God around us, protecting us and bringing us through. He was telling here the Lord of his complete dependence upon him. So often in our lives, we tend to rely upon our own wisdom, our own knowledge of why things are. We tend to rely upon our own strength or our own abilities to handle the situations that we face. And yet at the same time, we have to understand that we don't know it all. And we have to have help from God, right? Let me illustrate it this way. Friday evening, I helped Brother Mike up in the hayfield for a little while, turning some hay over. I had a good time. Helped. Yeah, helped. That's the word. Helped. I had a wonderful time. Didn't know a thing I was doing, but I had fun. And Brother Mike was back on there with me, helping me, knew what needed to be done. And there was a way we would make the turn there that, I don't know, the first five or six times, Mike was saying, well, start turning now. In my flesh, I could have said after about the second or third time, I know when to turn. Remember what I said about your opinion? Now, did I? No. Because I appreciated somebody with me that knew. And it's when you trust in your own ability that you get in trouble, right? And that is so true spiritually. None of us are spiritual enough to govern our own lives. None of us are spiritual enough to follow God without His help and to do what He would want us to do without His help. We must continually rely upon Him. There are times when God will allow us to face a difficulty that we cannot handle. He said in the latter part of verse 12, "Forget not the humble." David knew that God was his only hope, and he'd offered this plea to God, and he offers here a prayer of humility. Sometimes, folks, when we talk about we have to get ourselves out of the way, that refers to our own pride. We have to get it out of the way. We have to understand that, again, what? It's all of God and not of us. He realized that God alone could meet his need and to seek him with a heart of gratitude and worship rather than demanding help through arrogance. And beloved, that is a lesson that you and I so desperately need to learn and appropriate it in our lives. Verses 12, 13 through the first part of 14 was the perplexity that he was. Wherefore doth the wicked condemn God? He hath said in his heart, thou wilt not require it. Thou hast seen it, for thou beholdest mischief in spite and spite to require it with thy hand. David was absolutely confused. He could not understand the outright disregard of the wicked toward God. Well, if he couldn't understand it then, how do you think he would think about it now? Around us, there is an absolute disregard for God and the things of God. You see it in our court decisions. You see it many times in our churches. You see it in folks that we work with. You see it in folks in our community. There is an absolute, outright disregard for the things of God. And beloved, it has never gone unjudged, and it shall never go unjudged. Make no mistake. The judgment of Almighty God is going to fall on this nation one day. It's just as sure as your name is what it is. Will it happen in our lifetime? I don't know. But I do know that a nation that forgets God is in a world of trouble. And we are heading that way. And David's spot of it here. They lived and behaved as if they believed that their actions would never be brought into accountability. I may upset somebody here, but it's how I feel. I, for the life of me, cannot understand how or why any person who is saved would have any desire to go to Mardi Gras. That is beyond my comprehension, because it's nothing but debauchery of the nth degree. It's nothing but giving in to the flesh. Have a wild time. Why? Because as soon as it's over with, you're going to be taken care of. Priest will take care of it for you. Beloved, I would hate to be anywhere like that and up to my eyeballs in debauchery when the Lord would come back and find me right there. Woo, it's quiet. Am I telling you the truth? We tell our kids, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little feet, where you go. Beloved, that may apply to our big old bloodshot hoot owl eyeballs and our aching, big, stinking feet. We need to be careful. Why do we need to act or try to act as though there's no accountability for our actions? They lived as though they feared no one, not even God. And boy, we have that around us today, do we not? Over and over again. The rebellion of the actions of the wicked are not unnoticed. It will happen. Judgment will fall. I got a verse jotted down at the house on paper on my desk. Yeah. I got notebooks, but I also got a lot of papers with stuff wrote down on it. And I'm going to, Lord will, and I feel impressed to work a sermon out of this verse. And I think I'm just going to title it Clarence's Sermon. No, I'm not going to be preaching at Brother Clarence, but this is a verse that he has quoted. I can't help it. It has stuck with me since the first time I heard him mention it. And I've never preached on it, and I'm feeling like I'm going to. That rebellion is the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as what? Idolatry. This is where they are. They were. And folks, this is where we are today in so many instances. So Clarence, you are good for something. You know, how long have you been coming here now? And that's the only one thing I can, but at least I can give you credit for one thing. Finally, there was the anticipation professed. In verse 16, we see the authority. David said, "The Lord is king forever and ever. The heathen are perished out of the land." Mankind has enjoyed a season of prosperity and power today. But David was serving the eternal God, and so too are we. The Lord reigned on high, not man. There was absolutely no doubting what he was going to do. There has never been a time when God did not exist, and there's no danger of his demise. So David's confidence was in him. Regardless of the outcome of his present situation, regardless of what would happen, he knew that God would remain on his throne And he knew that God would possess absolute and total authority. Now, two things I want to mention here. And I'm going to wrap this up. First of all, did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, did they know that they would survive going into the furnace? No, they declared as much themselves. They didn't know whether God would deliver them or not. But what they did know was they weren't going to bow to an idol and worship an idol. Beloved, that takes faith. That's certainly on the same thought that David was here. I don't know whether, you know, regardless of what happens, God's still on the throne. Now, he rules absolutely, doesn't he? There's Mike and I was talking about this the other evening. And we've talked about it before. But there is a saying, what does absolute power do? It corrupts absolutely. That is true in world government. And it's true in churches. I know of places where the pastor of the church is in fact a dictator. He does what he wants, when he wants, at all times. If the church is involved in any way, it's just to rubber stamp what he wants done. Beloved, I don't care who the preacher is. If this church would give me total authority on all matters, I will guarantee you that at some point in time in my flesh, I would abuse that. Because our flesh can't handle that. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. That's why we can trust in God. Because he does possess absolute power. And the Bible declares him to be completely holy and righteous at all times. May God help us to understand that when these times come in our lives, when these times are there that we don't aren't aware of the presence of God, he's there. May we be ever willing to search our hearts to make sure that there's no sin there. David was willing to do that, didn't he? Try my heart. Search my heart, he said. Are you willing to do that in the privacy of your own home, or are you afraid to do it? Afraid of what you're going to find out. But if you're going through a dark time, and if, after beseeching the Lord, there is no unconfessed sin, then you can fully depend on God's deliverance in his time and God's blessing upon you while you're going through it. May God help us to understand that even though we may not be aware of his presence, he's there. And may our faith always remain strong. Let us pray.